Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Friday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago. Danny Burke is in. Hopefully you're doing well. You're getting the weekend kicked off. Last hurrah for your kids before you get to send them back to school in a lot of parts of the state. Can tap the line. Schilling Bridge, Cork and Tap House let you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776, toll free, 1-800-825-5865. You can find us on Twitter, at Schmidt underscore radio, find and follow, at Danny Burke 5, at Hail Varsity. Email, that has been fixed after I threw a two-year-old tantrum yesterday, chris@hailvarsity.com. Busy show, 41 years of excellence. Historian, author, Hall of Famer, football know-it-all, and the coolest dude there is, Mike Babcock, going to be with us in 15 minutes at MD Babs on Twitter. Bill Dolman, the pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, and hot dog aficionado. Bill Dolman in 1 hour. Double deuce, how about a Hall of Famer, a 10-year NFL vet, Ralph Brown. We'll get Ralph's takes on some of the walk-on thoughts. Good story by Dirk Chatlin on Coach Osborne. We'll get into some of that. We'll have comments here shortly from Coach Frost today as he wrapped up week one of training camp. So a lot to get to. Danny Burke, sir, how are you?
I'm good, Schmitty, but before we get the show started, don't look now.
What are we doing here?
Don't look now, but guess who's at the top? Gary Woodland.
Oh, yes.
Our boy, 10 under.
Right, because Woodland's just on fire. Did you any sort of mustard on old Gare Bear?
Of course. I had to take Shuey's advice.
So Shuey
I'm knocking on wood here, though, because they're saying it early.
Shuey may go 2 for 2 for you.
Let's hope so.
You got to do something nice for Mike Shuhart.
Absolutely. Okay, yeah. If he nails this one, absolutely.
If he goes 2 for 4
without a
for
doubt.
You and your friends out in the desert.
We're taking him out for sure.
No, I mean, he's busy. He is making all of Lincoln's golf swing better.
And our wallets better.
Right. Well, yes. You've got to you do something nice. And you won't have to go very far. You can just go grab a bone-in filet or rib. I don't know. Have you ever had a bone-in filet? Is there such thing? I think there is.
I don't think I've had one.
Neither have I. I mean, no. But I'm saying Shuey deserves that type of bone-in ribeye.
We'll see by the end of the week.
Or bone-in filet. Excuse me. We've all had, when Dad's buying, the bone-in ribeye.
Yes, sir. I'm excited, though. We'll see how it turns out.
Hey, Junior, what type of steak you want? Strip. Sirloin. For you. So good. Mike Shuhart is rocking that crystal ball.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. Dude, the smile on Danny Burke, the pride of Chicago's face when he's like, Woodland. I like it. I won't ask. I won't demand to know how many Skittles / Monopoly money you put on this thing. Let's talk about being mental, right? You need to be very strong mentally to knock down a putt. You need to be excruciatingly strong mentally if somebody went 9 plays, 94-yard drives, and put it down your throat for a go-ahead touchdown. And then did it again and did it again. I don't know if Wisconsin had 94-yard drives, but they went old school Nebraska last year. I remember the last amazing bowl win for Nebraska. And I know the Michigan game in the Alamo Bowl was pretty cool. And the comeback was very real. Awesome game for Jay Moore. But I remember the 99 season, the 2000 Fiesta Bowl, where Nebraska's playing Tennessee. Tennessee's your defending national champs because they beat Florida State the year before. And you had a couple of programs that just had hiccups. You had a loss by Tennessee to Florida that year. Nebraska fumbled away a chance to be undefeated and play Florida State or Virginia Tech for the national championship. What happens? You send Coach McBride out with a win. You beat T. Martin. You win by 10. Could have been by more. That was like the last showdown at top five. I think Nebraska was number three and Tennessee was five. And Nebraska was the tougher football team, like a lot of instances when they played Tennessee in the 90s. And the Nebraska had three 90-yard drives in the second half. Three. To destroy the will of a really good football team. Nebraska had an incredible defense. Ralph Brown, a part of that defense, and he'll be with us in an hour. But that was something that really just struck me today, and it has struck me since Coach Frost has returned. He has mentioned toughness in every media opportunity with the Big Ten Network, with today, just in front of the local media. We'll have that comment for you here in a little bit. And throughout spring ball. I mean, it is an identity, and it comes from the walk-on program. And it's that simple. And the question is, can you get back to it? They're going to try like hell to do it. And there are kids that grew up in rural situations or even in Lincoln or Omaha, in-state kids that they are tough. Yes, very tough. There's out-of-state kids that are tough. But it is some sort of magic concoction that a brilliant man and Tom Osborne all put together. We'll talk about that with Mike Babcock in a little bit. Just the years of being smarter than you. and then being tougher than you. And that's a really cool combination to go at worst 10-2 every year. So week one impressions for Nebraska football. It's been a positive week. Defense was happy. Offense was happy. Here's Scott Frost, what he think of week one.
It's been good. I see so much improvement from spring till now. The improvement from January until now. It's amazing how far the guys have come. We still have a lot to improve on and a lot to get better at, but overall, I think camp's been really, really good, and the players have given us a lot of effort.
Okay, so good effort, a lot to get better at, but it's been good. And I don't think they are in the mode of just handing out compliments, right? We go back a year. What were we kind of wowing about a year ago? Well, Riley got his whole team Chance the Rapper tickets. Nothing
Kendrick
wrong.
Kendrick Lamar.
Sorry. For God, I'm old.
He got a picture with Chance, but he got
okay,
the Kendrick Lamar.
Thank you.
Tickets.
I got them confused.
Yeah.
And listen, I like my hip hop. I'm all good with that. But I'm kind of a 90s hip hop guy. So there's my admission on a Friday. There's my confession. But the point is, hey, here's the reward. And it's very fair to ask, based on how they finished the year, did you deserve it? Right? Think about being a kid. And how did you grow up? Did you grow up with, you're going to get the toy anyway, or you're going to get the allowance money anyway? Doesn't matter if you did your job or not. And if you did, good for you. Or did you have to like go mow the yard, do the laundry, finish the dishes, paint the house, take the trash out to get paid? There were no chores going on last year. And it's kind of a in fad fashion right now. Let's reward the team and be the cool coach, be the cool older brother. Well, I Nebraska's being the cool older brother by grinding on the football field. Those are week one impressions. How about the quarterback? Let's talk quarterbacks. How they doing? Here's Coach Frost.
Quarterbacks have been doing good. I'd like to see them be farther ahead right now than what they are. You know, the one thing is, I think at the end of spring, they were doing a really good job, and it seemed like they got it. We didn't quite pick up there where we left off from spring. I think the last few days I've seen a big improvement, but everything's just got to operate faster for them, and that'll come when they're familiar enough with the offense that it clicks in their mind faster. We got to make some quicker decisions out there, and all the guys are doing a good job at times, but it's got to be more consistent.
Okay, here's the reality. It's never going to be quick enough. There's always a carrot to chase in this offense with tempo. And here, just put this in your mind, because I think this is how it's going to work. And watching Oregon, and with a snap count on the play clock, I mean, they do everything in fives, okay? This is their the process that's wanted. You go look at the four board sign, right? Richard Simmons, Air Jordan, Chuck Barkley, a picture of a cashew, or whatever the hell they're holding up, okay? And I don't know if Nebraska is going to do that, but that's, you know, the signs that were great. They're hilarious. But you got to interpret. You have to interpret. And 5 seconds, get to the line. That's 10 now. Scan the defense, another 5. Audible, if need be, 5. Go. There's your process time. And then once you get said snap, do you keep? Do you hand off? Is your read there? Do you tuck and run? That is the mental gymnastics that's a reality. And right now, they're not where they want to be. If they were, it probably means you have a second year or returning starter back doing it. Not a redshirt freshman new to the system, not a true freshman new to the system, not a junior college player in the system. And with Vedral, he's out. He's redshirting. That's the only guy, quite frankly, capable of hitting the number at this point. So there's still work to do. Very fair with Coach Frost. And he's always going to keep pushing. There'll be an optimum level they'll hit. There'll be a sweet spot he's happy with. But right now through a week, yeah, it could be better. I mean, he's gonna pump him up, and he's going to be real honest. And right now they need to be quicker. That's part of it. That's the issue with this system. That's the magic with this offense. And how far down on the gas pedal can you push right now against Akron, against Colorado, by Michigan? You're going to keep getting better. You pray. That's the reality with the offense. I like this. We talked a little running backs yesterday and the day before. We'll get to that here in a minute. But you're going to have a major scrimmage here. The first rumble is on deck. Coach Frost here when it comes to, all right, who's running with the ones, who's with the twos. Those reps will be pared down.
Yeah, we got a scrimmage coming up, and I think after that we'll adjust the reps at all the positions, not just quarterback, and make sure we're getting more reps to guys that we think are ahead. But, you know, it seems like we've been here 2 months already. It's only been a little over a week, and there's still a lot more reps to be had for everybody.
Okay. So time to man up. I have no idea when the scrimmage is, but scrimmages always happen on Saturdays. That's what I am thinking. The running backs, what's Mo? What's Trey? What have they brought to the party here? What have they added to the running back room?
Yeah, you know, Trey's done a great job. We weren't sure what his health status would be. He's looked great out there. Obviously, Greg Bell had a good spring and is doing a good job. Maurice has come in and shown some things. I think Devine's looking quicker and faster than I've ever seen him. Mikhail and the other guys are doing a good job, too. So we got some depth there. I think we're starting to get to a point. We got some home run hitters in the backfield, and this offense needs guys that can take the distance.
And Coach Frost followed up on that. What do you want out of your running back, right? Do you want a 3-yard cloud of dust, ground and pound? Nebraska fans are cool with that. But I think the desire here is to find dudes that can just kill you. And it takes one touch. It's one seam. And Coach Frost here does a pretty good job of describing kind of the identity of the Nebraska run game for his offense and this team.
Well, you know, our offense is different than what they ran. And the big difference in our offense is when you get a crease, are you going to get 5 or are you going to get 12 or are you going to go the whole way? And I think getting in shape and getting leaner for Devine has been big for him. He's at least a step faster. Some of the young guys and new guys we brought in, along with Trey getting healthy, it really looks like it's going to give us some weapons in the backfield.
Okay, so hit a crease, you get 5, do you get 12, do you go touchdown? We'll talk about toughness here with Mike Babcock. This was the money quote today from Coach Frost on being a tough football team.
You know, Zach Duvall is as good as there is in the business, and he's changed our team. All you have to do is walk out on the field and look at each individual and see how much improvement they've made with their bodies, with their speed, with their strength. Along with that, it's got to be guys that are willing to fight and strain. And really, being tough is a mentality. I got the impression watching from afar that last year when things got tough, the team kind of shut it down and quit, and they tell me the same thing. I don't want guys that'll quit. I want guys when things get hard that they're going to push through and be even better in those situations. And again, that goes back to a mentality. I think physically we're getting to a good place where we're strong enough to be physical. The rest of it's got to come mentally.
Got to be between the ears, like we started off the show with. And that'll take finishing in some fourth quarters. Chris Schmidt and Danny Burke with you here on a Friday. Great to be with you with Hail Varsity Radio. Mike Babcock is up next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you on Friday at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Had to air guitar there for a second on Purple Haze with Jimi Hendrix, who welcomed in historian, author, Hall of Famer, Jimi Hendrix fan. Mike Babcock at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. Yeah, Jimi Hendrix, Purple Haze.
Maybe Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, is sending a tribute out to Coach Bill Snyder.
Well, I tell you, there's a good example of a coach that knows what he needs to do and does it. He's done a great job at Kansas State, and he knows how to use those junior college players.
Oh, he does, doesn't he? He was super brilliant with his niche, right? Once he got to K-State in 1990 from Iowa, that's kind of where he went, and it really kicked off and started with Chad May and followed. He had some really tremendously talented quarterbacks. Babbers, I want to kind of get your take. We'll get into some fall camp thoughts here in a minute as Coach Frost talked to the media today. But I want to go back to Coach Osborne, and it relates to Frost. And it kind of circles the walk-ons, but that idea of kind of the Frost toughness he wants to arm his guys with, not just physically but mentally, and it goes back to Coach Osborne more times than not having teams that could finish you in the fourth quarter, and specifically your time around Coach Osborne, Mike, just how he was just the smartest dude in the room when it came to constructing football teams and personalities, how he was able to use that and get the walk-ons to push the scholarship guys.
Yeah, you know, and I've said it before, and I dealt with Coach Osborne for 20 of his 25 years as head coach. And, you know, I think that I see the things that Scott Frost is talking about, the toughness, the ability to be strongest in the fourth quarter and as we said, Bill Snyder had a plan, and he followed through on that and was successful. That's the way Tom was. I mean, he had a plan. He knew what it was he was going to do. He recruited to that system, and then he developed those players. And you know, some of those walk-ons didn't just push the other guys, the scholarship guys. They were the guys that were out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the plan and the number of repetitions that those guys got in practice, because they ran multiple stations in practice. You could do that, you know, because of numbers. I think Scott Frost has tried to do that to some degree. You talk to players now, and they say, yeah, there's not a lot of standing around, and the pace that we go at, everybody gets a lot of reps. I think that's important. And I think that that's something that Osborne did. He didn't always have, across the board, maybe didn't always have the most talented teams. but he had the best prepared teams, and he had the teams that were put together with an expectation of how they were going to play. And walk-ons were really an important part of that because, again, they did push people. And, you know, I've probably told you this story, but, you know, Trev Alberts told me once that he's sitting at the training table or at, you know, doing the study table or whatever, and there's Gerald Armstrong, you know, and he's a walk-on, and Trev said that motivated him to be a better player because here's a guy that's a walk-on, and he's pushing himself and he's paying his own way. It's a motivational thing. So I think that's one of the important things about the walk-on players. And of course, Armstrong earned a scholarship and was a pretty darn good tight end. So you see a lot of what Coach Osborne tried to do, and what Scott Frost says he wants to do or is doing. And then that, you know, he updates. You can't just live in the past. So we're seeing a little bit different. He's tweaking things, but the basics, you know, be tough mentally as well as physically. And Boyd Epley had those guys prepared physically, and you're going to be successful.
Mike Babcock's with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine. 41 years of amazing Nebraska coverage continues with Mike Babcock at MD Babs on Twitter. With Hale Varsity, you know, Gerald Armstrong caught like 19 passes and I think 18 were for touchdowns. He was that good inside the five. And the thing, though, and I want to, and Dirk did a really good story on T.O. With the World Herald and just kind of getting into the mind of Osborne. And you have covered Tom, like you said, for most of his career. Just from the doctorate in educational psychology, Tom knew how people ticked, and he knew how to get that personality of an Armstrong and a Trev Alberts to play off each other and push one another. Just as two recent examples you gave, but it was constant. It was always on point and always right to be a better team. And also be pretty good dudes on and off the field.
Yeah, well, Coach Osborne understood that, and he had the Unity Council. He put that together. You know, that was really important. And another thing I probably said before, but when I put together the book Heart of a Husker and talked to a lot of former Huskers and players and coaches, you know, one of the things that came up, and this is towards the end of Tom's career when he's won the national championships, but guys played for him. You know, almost to a man, they said, you know, I played hard. I gave it everything I had because I didn't want to let Coach Osborne down. You know, it wasn't like he screamed and yelled at people. Mm-hmm. You know, he developed that relationship with his players. And, you know, I think that's an important part of it as well. I think you have to have that communication. And it's probably more difficult now than it was then because of social media and all the things, you know, the star rankings, mm-hmm. and recruiting and so forth changes the dynamic of that, but you have to have that relationship, and he had it in it to a remarkable degree, I think, by the time he finished coaching. But you know, it's important, the relationship that you have with your players and their expectations. And you know, one of the things that Scott Frost has said is it's a step-by-step process, and the final step is going on that field and expecting to win. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a fine line. You know, you can say, yeah, I expect to win, but there's a lot of work that goes into that, and it's a mental thing, and a lot of guys don't get it.
No, they don't, and they need to come along for the ride. But there needs to be a baseline of getting there, right? There needs to be a season where you do it. And you're right. You're so right about the step-by-step process where – You can go out there and have a Cinderella season, right? You can go fire up an 11-2, but are you reverting back to 3-9 in college football today, in today's era of it? I mean, the consistency thing, you nailed it, Babbers, with the relationship. Think about the world you live in today. How many people want to go sell out and kill it for their boss?
Well, yeah, that's right. And again, you know, this is a guys, when I did the interviews for the book, and you know, the first question I had, does Coach Osborne know you're doing this? And and they said, if he doesn't know you're doing this, I'm not on board. I'm not going to do it.
Right. They're protecting, like protective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, again, that's the relationship that was built with a coach. And that went back, you know, that wasn't just the national championship years. That was, you know, that was before you know, the Tom's teams won the national titles. And it wasn't, you know, we've said this before, too, but there were some bumps along the way. His 25 years as head coach wasn't necessarily smooth sailing, just, you know, a straight line to the top.
Right.
There were some difficult times. And again, the relationship with the players was really important to get through that.
Mike Babcock's with us here. Hail Varsity Radio. Can read and follow Mike. HailVarsity.com and, of course, Hail Varsity Magazine at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, what's your takeaway here on this week and the name that's come up? Not necessarily a surprise because of how ballyhooed he is, but he's delivered so far. And that's to a peer and that's to a coach, including Coach Frost, Mo Washington. What's your reaction?
Well, you know, I thought it was interesting that Scott said that, you know, he's actually performed better than they expected because, you know, he was trying to get academically eligible and going through all that stuff and really reported a little bit lighter than he had been. And so they were a little bit concerned about that and how much work he had been able to put in. But, yeah, I've talked to, you know, a handful of players. Hey, who has been impressive to you on offense among the young guys? Hey, Maurice Washington, you know. Yeah, he's getting a lot of love. But, you know, here's the thing. Still, he's a young guy. He's got a lot to learn. He got a late start on the thing compared to some of those other guys. And, you know, what happens is there's always the excitement about the new guy, you know. And he's the real deal. I don't think Cam Taylor's another guy like that that's getting a lot of love from people. You know, you've still got some veteran guys there at running back. Greg Bell looked good. He's a new guy. He looked good in the spring. You got Will Bond. You got Ozigbo. You got Trey Bryant back now. So it's going to be really competitive, and maybe we won't see Mo Washington quite as much as what you might think from all the kudos that he's getting right now. But it's really a positive to have a guy like that and to know that, you know, again, they're recruiting to the system and they're getting the guys that they need.
No, that's right on. And what were your expectations? Well, look at the path to get here. Just getting here was the hope, and now you're going well beyond that with everyone going, wow.
Yeah. I mean, well, what does that say about his determination?
Oh yeah.
You know, he's a determined kid. You got to believe that because he made it. You know, he's eligible. He's here. And there was some question about whether he would do that. So there's determination. That's part of it. That's something that you hope that these guys have, and you can't necessarily coach that. So he's got that determination in addition to the ability. And now you got to develop that mentality that we're talking about.
Babbers, about 30 seconds, bud. What's coming up with Hail Varsity Magazine? What have you been doing?
Well, we're putting together the issue this weekend. It'll be goes to the printer, I think, Monday morning. So basically what I'm doing is reading a lot of copy and did a nice Q&A with Bunch, kind of an interesting guy. His dad, you know, walked on here and because of injury didn't get to play a lot, but knew Tim Worth. They're good friends, and I talked to Tim about Bunch before he ever got here. So it's kind of cool, you know. Tim was a pretty good guy. He played fullback at 5'7", not too bad.
I love that.
Tough guy.
Go smoke some linebackers.
Yeah.
I like it. Mike Babcock, 41 years and counting with Hail Varsity Radio, exclusively with Hail Varsity. Can subscribe, 855-3-HUSKER, hailvarsity.com/subscribe. Get the issue, get the magazine, get the premium content online at MD Babs on Twitter. Follow Mike. Babbers, have a great weekend, brother. It was fun to chat.
Hey, you too. You guys keep up the good work.
Thanks. Mike Babcock with us on Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Do you know this one, Danny?
Of course I do.
Good work. All right.
I was going to ask you when you were saying you're a 90s rap guy, were you Biggie or Tupac?
I had way more Tupac.
Okay. See,
how about you?
I like both. I think they're both
see,
great.
See, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. I like both as well. But
yeah,
I think as far as the phone collection, or I mean, like my wife was cleaning out, I think her parents' basement, and she comes in like the old school book of CDs. Uh-huh. They're in the, if anyone ever gets into my car, there's a book. There's like two books of CDs, right? The dust all over them. She's like, here, and throws me like, you know, it's like a giant. Not suitcase, but you know what? You, if you're of a certain age, where you had your CD, you had your CD zip up thing, your case logic.
I hear you.
You're just like, what's a CD?
No. We had CDs.
The Schmidt family was ahead of the curve, getting a CD player and Slippery When Wet in 1986. Bon Jovi. All right.
Okay.
I remember that. Remember taking the old family truck to Best Buy. It's good. And then. I think when I was living in South Dakota back, I don't know, 02, right? The Jamal Lord year, doing games and stuff up there, like buying some Rolling Stones and probably like a Tupac's Greatest Hits, because they have a new Tupac's Greatest Hits coming out every other year.
Yeah.
Because he died my freshman year. He got whacked in Vegas my freshman year of college.
Right. Okay.
But no, I mean, I just think both sounds are really good.
Yeah, I think Biggie's more of a genuine hip-hop guy, where Tupac's a little bit more diverse, which makes him great as well.
Sure, sure.
But I just think, like, if you're going straight hip-hop with a little bit of funk to it, too, that's why I got to take my boy Biggie.
That's fine, man. Yeah. I'm not judging.
Love
it's okay.
both, though.
No, it's good. So did you ever, we're going to get back to football, I swear to you. Did you ever have the moment where mom or dad got into your car and the parental advisory music was playing?
All the time. I play it on purpose
But how did that happen? Did they confiscate and like melt down the CD in front of you, or did they ground you?
No, see, my mom gets a little bit more mad with the words. My dad, like, he likes some of the songs, so he'll deal with
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
You gotta meet your pops. Yeah. I got grounded for a month because I had Onyx in my tape player.
See, I mean, yeah, they maybe get the clean version if they were like, if we were doing iTunes and they were helping me pay for it. They would make sure I'd get the clean version, but then when I figured it out, it would just be the explicit.
I remember
from there
this
on.
Conversation the rest of my life, where it's a Saturday morning. I'm like 16 or 17. My dad helps me get like this sweet truck, right? Ford Ranger, step side. It was money. It was awesome. And I'm paying, you know, he's the bank, but I'm paying him. And I think his interest rate was probably about 7% over whatever the Russian mafia was charging their folks to borrow money. Anywho, I was making the payments, and my buddy made me a mixtape, and it had Onyx on it. And one of the songs is Back Up, okay? So he gets in my truck to move my truck, like 7 a.m. on a Saturday, because it's nice out, and he's going to wash his car. And he moves it to the street. I wake up, and he's like, guess what happened this morning? What, Dad? Tell me. Nice to see you. How are you, sir? There's like a look in his eye. Yeah, I get in your truck, and I got three or four dudes screaming at me, calling me an MF. No car for a month. Go back downstairs.
It's quite the way to wake up in the morning.
Oh, at least he didn't like come beat the crap out of
me. He'd take the CD away?
He backed over it. Really? He handed me the tape.
You kind of got to respect that, honestly.
But I'm pulling a him with Junior, because Junior will be listening to stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's way worse.
Oh, it's brutal now.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. Let's get to football. My bad. But we had to open that can with a little ice cube to come back. They about tore me limb from limb because I rocked an ice cube t-shirt in high school one time. My parents are like, what the hell did you wear?
You still got the shirt?
It was a Lethal Injection. No, man. They confiscated that thing, and I think... So
I was going to say, you got to wear it one of these days. That'd be something to see.
It was black. It was cool. I mean, the shirt was black before I get hate mail here. Okay, let's talk some football here. Fighting, toughness, right? All the things Ice Cube encompasses in his lyrics. Let's be straight here. We talked to you about Coach Frost and that idea of physicality. Nick Saban yesterday, we played the sound. Do you want to play football? Do you love the game? Or do you like the lifestyle? As St. Nick put it, do you like girls on your Twitter? Okay? And it kind of comes back to, all right, if you're preaching toughness, if that's what your profile as a team needs to become, who are some of the guys that embody that for Nebraska?
Yeah, if I had to pick one out, Stanley Morgan. It helps if you love football. And when he goes out on the field, he loves the game. He doesn't want to lose. It seems like he's at full speed no matter what. Luke Gifford's been the same way. I'd say Mo Berry and Will Honus and Dredrick Young at inside linebacker are playing that way. But I want a whole team of them. I want a whole team that when they're tired, they're going to play even harder. And when we're behind, they're going to play even harder. And in the fourth quarter, we're going to play even harder. We got a ways to go to get to that mentality.
Yeah. You can't have four dudes. And I remember sitting down with Mo Berry last year. Right, this was after the Wisconsin game, and Mo was so good about giving time. And I wasn't like, it wasn't accusing him, or I wasn't being too up in there. But it as a dude, did guys, excuse me, this wasn't Wisconsin. This was after the Minnesota game, where the whole world's questioning their heart. And Mo Berry is a good enough dude to do a one-on-one. And Mo's like, man, I mean, like the look he gave me, it's like, no, I love this game. And you know Mo's story from some work out there by some of the local Nebraska media. I mean, that guy is like a warrior, and he's vocal. And Mo's like, man, I mean, the look he gave is like, I love this game. He's a guy who loves the game. Stanley Morgan's a guy who loves the game. Luke Gifford loves the football. I mean, that's just it. And Can that rub off on some fringe guys? The guys play it because they're super talented? Yeah. The guys play it because you can get chicks? Hell yeah. But ultimately, do guys play it so they can watch you cry at the end of the ball game because you just curb stomped them? You took their will. You turned the light out as a team, as a program. And you need guys like that that just want to beat you, that love the thrill of winning. And Frost kind of outlined and detailed who are some of those guys. But he's right on, and it's a message. And he's pretty vocal about it. I need more than one or two or three or four. So there is kind of the closing of the chapter on toughness and that identity that's trying to be forged. Physically, you've seen what Coach Duvall's done. Mentally, you got to go do it on a field in a big game, in conference, or when the Buffs come calling. The Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, is Bill Dolman coming up, Ralph Brown coming up. We'll wind down Hour 1 with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to be back with you. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. We will have some impressions and thoughts on the NFL preseason from last night, full slate tonight and the weekend. And if you are that confident, Danny Burke may have some picks for you, as I say yes, in preseason football. Sauter Heyman has plenty of picks for you, not the kind you throw in return, but the kind you keep and cherish and smile about. Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, Sauter Heyman. Real diamonds grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. They're eco-friendly. They're sustainable. They're some of the top sellers at Sauter Heyman, and 10 to 40% less than traditional earth mine diamonds. See Rick today at Sauter Heyman. See your friends at Sauter Heyman. Convenient locations for you, 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. Log on now, sauterheyman.com. Okay, we had some thoughts earlier from Coach Frost and the running back room. He backed up And he is the voice that they're all important voices, but Coach Frost is the voice that counts for Nebraska football. And he echoed that wow factor we talked with Babers about on Maurice Washington.
I'd say to this point, he's better than what I expected. It's amazing. He hadn't worked out much. He was focused on academics. He was working. I don't think he was eating and getting all the nutrition that he needed. He showed up actually quite a bit lighter than when he was here on his recruiting visit. So we didn't know what we would get, but he's going to be a pretty special player.
Man, I mean, you've heard that. Danny, you've seen a lot of things this week in camp. Defense is getting around and flying around to the football. Quarterbacks need to process better. That's the word on Frost. The scrimmage will determine kind of who the front runner is at an early point in camp soon. And Maurice Washington and Trey Bryant, I mean, that's kind of been your bullet points, man.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's kind of hard not to talk about the running back situation right now. And it is fun to talk about the quarterback room, too.
Do you like that it maybe's taken some of that spotlight off the quarterback?
Yeah, I think it's good to transition because it gets you excited for both position groups. And I don't think you're going to get anywhere as much as we like to talk about it, as much as people like to think about it and just form their own speculations. I don't think we're going to get anywhere closer to knowing who the quarterback is until Frost wants us to know who the quarterback is. And with the running back situation, it seems like they're actually letting us know their true thoughts, as you were saying the other day. And Frost said it right there, basically, along with some players and coaches. And it seems like, you know, Maurice Washington, he's the real deal. So we kind of get an inside scoop of what this running back room hopefully is going to shape out to be and the potential that they hold.
Yeah, and that's going to be such an important part to the offense, where you want a guy who can get rid of the football and make the right read and use his legs. But when you think of Oregon, I mean, they had some insane backs, and they had roles for their backs. And I know Royce Freeman's now with the Donks, but he was a really good back. I mean, the year Oregon played Ohio State for the championship, I mean, Royce was a true freshman as their power back. The Nebraska's got options. Barner, I mean, they had just fast home run hitting dudes, and the tempo was so maddening that defenses crumbled. And when they didn't crumble, they could still hang on. And I'm thinking of those Oregon-Stanford matchups. Hour 2, Bill Dolman coming up with Hail Varsity.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you at Tower 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago. Danny Burke, Hall of Fame Husker Ralph Brown, 25 minutes away. We welcome in the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports and hot dog aficionado, Bill Dolman, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D, back-to-back week. Well, hold on. I was gone last week. How are you, sir? What's new, man?
I'm glad to be able to work back-to-back weeks as opposed to, you know, the frequent suspensions that have been coming my way throughout the summer.
I was sick last Friday. Danny, you can, like, back that up here.
I don't know, Bill. He just always avoids you. We were talking about it on Friday. I mean, it's just so happens that you always get sick. You got a golf tournament, something when Bill's supposed to come.
No,
out.
Man.
A little fishy.
It's not fishy at all. Bill, what have you been up to, man? How are you?
Well, let's see. What have I been up to? You know, not a whole lot. 'Tis the quiet season is what it really is. So I'm just gearing up for football, basically, like everybody else is.
No, I know. And Coach Frost addressed the media today, week one of camp. You got a freshman that it was iffy if he was going to be eligible or even be able to play in Maurice Washington that's turning heads. You have toughness as a topic today with Coach Frost. I want to go back to Coach Osborne, Bill, and your time around him and just his ability to get guys to perform. And it came down to relationships and sincerity, truly caring about somebody that played for him, that worked for him, that worked with him. And that's not always the case. If you were to say, like, the what was the main building block for this Nebraska success under Tom? Was it that fact that guys could and did run through a wall for him?
Well, yeah, I think that the biggest key was that there was such a universal ownership in the program, not just with the players that were brought in and the coaching staff and all that, but it's well documented, well talked about, and some people clearly don't understand it, other than, you know, those of us who are from Nebraska. But it is the unique cultural ownership of the entire state to Nebraska football. But I've said it before, anything that has the Husker logo on it, Nebraska fans are typically 99% behind it, supporting it, and hoping for the best. And I think when you have that culture, that once players start to understand that Nebraska is a unique place, and it might take a year, might take two, might take until they graduate college, and then they're off going someplace else, going, wow, you know, it was really good. It was really good back there in that suburb of heaven. that people, you know, and people always talk about I think I've heard Scott say it many times and others, that the strength of Nebraska is its people. And I would take that a step further, that it's the people of Nebraska, but those people genuinely want to help other people. You know, it's not that, you know, we're a bunch of, you know, good men and women, you know, hanging out and just, you know, doing the right thing. People want to do the right thing for other people. And eventually, there's probably skepticism given the culture that we live in this country and have for, you know, maybe a generation or so. But I think when people finally come in and realize that, you know what, people really want the best for me here, they buy in, and then they're just kind of perpetuates. And for Tom, it perpetuated for 25 years. We went through the 4-year case of the flu. We went through coaches and administrators who did not get it. And hopefully that's all back now. We have an outsider in Bill Moose, but everybody has said he seems like a guy from Nebraska who just started living here. Scott gets it. And those coaches that have been around Scott for the however long they've been together have, you know, no doubt been given a crash course into what the culture of Nebraska is like. And once people understand it perpetuates itself, and there's ownership. And then guys really start to buy into what is being said over their 3, 4, 5-year experience.
Bill Dolman's with us, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, Hale Varsity Radio, talking fall camp, talking Coach Osborne. And let's go to the walk-ons. And can that be rebuilt, resurrected? I know that's the plan. And you've got a different era now. And I know Coach Frost and his coaches and Barrett Rood are going to be all over in-state coaches, metro and rural. That said, you've got kind of a lost generation. We were talking with Babbers about this last hour, and we'll talk with Ralph Brown about it here after you. But I want your take on it, getting Nebraska kids to want to play for Nebraska again.
I read the World Herald article, and there's that they charted how many Nebraska people were on the roster from 1997 to this year. And it was stunning for me, and also not too surprising to see that what was it, 2003, 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there, the numbers were in the 50s and the 40s. And that's just depressing to see. Can Nebraska get it back to where it was with 110 guys, and they can have 150, 180 guys on the roster? I really don't know. But I think the culture can certainly be there, can be reestablished to where guys in state want to stay and want to play for Scott and for that staff and all of the players who, you know, have been able to the former players who have come around to help Scott reestablish what it means to be a Nebraska football player. You know, I think Tom is quoted in that article talking about Harrison Phillips and Drew Ott leaving. I think to a certain extent there was probably something, maybe contemporary or trendy, that you got to say, I got out of Nebraska and I went someplace. I think in a very short period of time, it's going to be not cool for guys to go. And I can remember back in the day when Sean Ridley and Larry, you could name the guys who left for one reason, you know, because maybe they weren't being recruited or they did get an opportunity and they took the scholarship. But Sean Ridley and Larry Station, two Omaha guys, seemed to be the ones that got away, but they were so few. And it was really odd. But I think for, like, you know, those guys I mentioned, it was probably trendy. I'm not going to go play for Bo Pelini or Mike Riley or those guys. I got out of Nebraska, you know, because that's in the past. Well, Nebraska's the future right now. I mean, I watched the Peach Bowl earlier today with Central Florida beating Auburn. And I'm thinking, again, like I said last week, Scott has already earned his salary in terms of marketing and promotion. The amount of exposure Nebraska has gotten through the hiring process and since he's been hired has to be in the tens of millions of dollars. He's a contemporary guy. Guys are going to want to play for him, and you're going to get the state buying in again, and it's going to get perpetual where guys are going to understand what it means to be a Nebraska football player again, and they're going to want to be a part of it, and it ain't going to be cool to leave.
I'll say this about Harrison Phillips, talking with him a few times and just getting to kind of know him and covering him. And I don't know Drew Ott, but I know enough folks who know the family. And that's on Nebraska, not those kids, when it came to recruiting. Nebraska absolutely screwed both up. Same with Noah Fant.
Doesn't shock me at all. You know, I remember doing, and I was thinking back, getting ready for our conversation today. Mm-hmm. I remember when we were doing the Average Joe Sports Show, probably 2005 or 6, somewhere mm-hmm. in there. And there was a kid at Omaha Westside. The name escapes me. The coach at Westside at the time, his name escapes me. But I will never forget, though, that there was a quote in the Omaha World Herald. And we talked about this, I think, at length on the show that day. The quote from that particular coach was, basically, this is like 2 or 3 years into Bill Callahan's tenure at Nebraska. And the quote in the Omaha World Herald was something along the lines of, it was great to meet Coach Callahan, and it's always great when the head coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers comes to your school. All right? We're not talking about him getting the job after Peterson panicked. We're talking about 2 or 3 years after he got the gig that he finally made his way to Omaha Westside. And I was thinking, I think there was also a comment, and I don't know if Chuck Mazursky was still the coach at Southeast or not, but I think we all know that there wasn't a great relationship there because Chuck was taking his teams to, you know, Wyoming to Joe Glenn's camps.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was a comment like Callahan hadn't even been to Lincoln Southeast to visit. But when that coach at Westside said it was great to meet Bill Callahan.
3 years in.
2 or 3 years later, it should have been 2 or 3 days after he got the job. That every coach in Omaha and the surrounding areas should have been gathered together. And hey, I know I won their coach in the Super Bowl, but you... No, it was 2 years later. I will bet you that when, you know, that those guys that were on Tom's staff for so long probably knew 90% of the coaches in Nebraska high schools, 8-man to A, by their first name.
Well, and then you had Frank, and you had Milt, and you had Dan. I mean, you had guys that were one of them. I mean, you had guys get promoted up.
I played in enough golf scrambles around the state from Scotts Bluff to Shickley to Sioux City, South Sioux City, where you would see those guys, and it wasn't as though there was great reverence for who they were. Mm-hmm. But there was also just a genuine, hey, it's great to see you. And, you know, in Nebraska, you don't go to a pub to have a beer in a small town. You go to a tavern, right?
Yep.
And so you could see Frank or Milt or Dan or Tony Samuel or Kevin. You could see those guys at home in a local tavern having a pop or two with the coach and the guy from the co-op, right?
Yes. Or a cup of coffee at the cafe.
You could never see that with, and I think Bo probably tried but didn't get it, and then I think he isolated himself. But back in the day, everybody was part of the Nebraska football family, and it wasn't as though those guys held themselves in high regard over others. Others held the Nebraska staff in high regard, but they also felt like they were approachable. And I think that there's the potential to get that back if that staff stays together. And as those guys learn from Scott and others, I'm talking about the coaches, I think that you can get that back. They're going to realize, you know what, it is really, really good here.
Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, Hail Varsity Radio with us at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Bill, got about 3.5 minutes here, and I love chatting with you about this topic. Let's talk Mo Washington for a second, and I know you're a pump the brakes guy, and I totally respect that. You've had peers, coordinators, position coaches, and now head coach kind of go, wow, with just the dedication by Mo Washington to come in and kind of show his stuff. I mean, he really fought to get here, and Nebraska did a great job of sticking by him. Is there a kid that you kind of point back to? And I don't want to overhype, but just a freshman that came in and that kind of turned your head that you remember?
Well, I go back to those summer days of sitting in Memorial Stadium and doing the, I don't remember what it was called, the Big Red Reports or mm-hmm. whatever for KFAB. And I talked about it a little bit last week when we were talking leadership and what I've seen in Tanner Farmer. I can remember when Amon Green got recruited and all the hype and how important he was for him to stay in state and how good he was. And I can remember when he would come down from Omaha and watching him, first of all, as great as Amon Green was and went on to a lengthy career in the NFL, he still looked like a young kid mm-hmm. on the field those days with Lawrence Phillips, the Macavickas,
Clinton,
the Peter
Damon.
Brothers, yeah. with Wistrom and all those guys. And it looked like this is the best high school football player in the country. And he looks like a sheep among wolves, but they all brought him along, but he just looked like a young guy. So that's why, you know, I don't know how good Maurice Washington is going to be. It's great that he was focused during his during the uncertainty, and he appears to have come in decent shape. But I remember even the best of the best back in 1994, thereabouts, still looked like a young pup with the big dogs. That's probably a better analogy. But he's probably the most hyped player that I can remember. Derrick Brown had
liked Brownie. He was so much fun, man.
Yeah, he was a great player. And coming out of Anaheim, what was it, Servite High School?
Yep.
You know, and Calvin was at that same time, so we had the Wee Back deal. There was a lot of hype with those guys. But again, you do have to pump the brakes. That's a big stable of running backs that Nebraska has right now. Is there one that's the breakaway? Clear cut one, I don't know, but here's where I think Ryan Held is very valuable to this Nebraska football staff. Not only because, and his recruiting has already become somewhat legendary, which doesn't surprise me at all. But you go back to Ryan Held being one of those guys who comes from Kansas City. He's a walk on in the program. He's around the culture for 4 or 5 years. He understands how special the place is. And when he got the gig, anybody that knows him or remembers him was so happy that he got the job because you knew that he would go balls to the wall to once he got the gig, and he's done that in terms of recruiting. But I also think in the running back's room that he can go back to saying, look, when I was here, I may have been on the scout team for 5 years, but I'm just telling you, this is how Calvin Jones, Lawrence Phillips, all these guys, Amon Green, you know, went about their business. And he can rely on what, you know, Frank Solis did mm-hmm. when he was the running backs coach. So I think there's a real value in Ryan Held having been in the program and being with that stable of backs to pump the brakes and to make sure that they all understand what they're supposed to do and the legacy that they're a part of. And eventually somebody's going to break out of the pack and you're going to have one or two guys that are going, probably two or three guys that can get the job done. And if Maurice Washington is one of them, great. If he's not, we're going to find out pretty soon, and he's going to be like that kid that signed with Wisconsin and then decides he's going to be at Nebraska, runs back one kickoff, and realizes he can't even compete, and he's gone.
Bill Dolman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Billy D. will holler next Friday,
Ryan
brother.
Knuckles.
Thanks, brother.
How many running backs do you want to go down the line, right?
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's head out to the West Coast, because that's where Hall of Fame quarterbacks come from. Ralph Brown with us. Ralph, what's good, man? How are you?
Nothing much. Just jumping at the bit, waiting for this football season to kick off.
No, I know you are. We were kind of talking off air. It needed to kick off yesterday. I think we agree on that.
Yeah, it does. Yesterday would have been great.
You can find Ralph on Twitter at Ralph D. Brown. Of course, 10-year NFL vet. Ralph, there's so much to get to. It's been a week at camp. Coach Frost spoke a little bit earlier, and there's a lot of things I want to get to you with. One, though, is just first and foremost, toughness, right? You were a guy that played a spot where you had to be agile, extremely athletic, but also you were so good against the run. The toughness mentality, Frost trying to kind of infuse that back in. Touch on, if you could, what it means to kind of be made to be a tough football player. There's two guys you can get, right? You can get the tough kid or you can make a kid tough. How did Nebraska do that, in your opinion? How can they do that?
Well, you're basically in football, you're a product of your environment. So when I got to Nebraska, once I arrived, the standard was physical, tough-minded players, not afraid to get dirty, roll your sleeves up, and work hard every day. And then once you come into that system, no matter if you're a tough guy or not, your standards are going to basically match what the tempo of the head coach and the coaching staff are basically implementing on a day-to-day basis outside the football field and on the football field as well as a player, because we couldn't wear sleeves in practice. That made us tough. That made us be able to endure the freezing elements without sleeves when it's 15, 20 degrees on the football field. So as a coach, you have to implement that, get some players that buy into and subscribe with your philosophy, and then everyone else will follow suit. And it seems like that's going on right now in Husker Nation.
So, okay, take me through that first time, or maybe you knew better. but the whole sleeves discussion, do you remember having that either, hey, dude, I need sleeves, or what are you doing wearing sleeves?
Well, I come from Los Angeles, so when I got to Nebraska, I mean, the cold temperatures, once they dropped to about 50 degrees, I was already freezing. And I remember one practice, I went to go put some sleeves on, and I don't remember who exactly was, but, you know, one of the linebackers or one of those older veterans grabbed me and pinched my long sleeve and said, what are you doing? I said, hey, I'm trying to stay warm out there. And the individual says, hey, look, we don't do this at practice. There's no sleeves. And I'm looking up as I see other players walking by, Jason Peter, Grant Wickham. They have no T-shirts underneath their shoulder pads, and they're just going out to practice. And it's about, you know, 25, 30 degrees. And that was a standard. And I bought in. I was trying to be cool and stay warm, but I wanted to buy into the standard and be great just like everyone else. And so I took my sleeves off and rode out there freezing, but I eventually got used to it.
So your defensive cohorts, they just went, for lack of a better term, commando under their shoulder pads?
Yeah, a lot of the D linemen, Jason Peter, Jared Thomas, Grant Wistrom, you know, Rucker, and those guys, they set a standard. They just bought into being gritty and dirty and being defensive linemen and creating a standard of just mucking it up and being disruptive.
Ralph Brown's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. Ralph, Coach Osborne had a comment, well, several comments to the World Herald the last couple of days, and it goes to the heart of the walk-on program. One of the words in the story was permeate, and can you kind of touch on how the in-state kids affected the out-of-state kids, how a walk-on kind of represented what the state and the program was supposed to be to the guys that were outside coming in?
Well, the walk-on program and the walk-on players were so vital and important to the program. They're the backbone to the university, to the football program. And for the last, I think, 15 to 20 years, that's basically been absent. But when it was in place, when I played, the walk-ons were the backbone. They were treated as if they were starters as well. Everyone loved the walk-ons, and they basically knew that they were the ones that would make the football team what it was in terms of their reps, in terms of studying, in terms of possibly getting a scholarship. And everyone bought in, and they worked hard on a daily basis. And every walk-on from the state wanted to play for the university because they made sure that the relationship was there through Osborne. And for all those years, and now Coach Frost, he's trying to get that back, but it's just been absent for so long.
Was it as simple as driving the out-of-state guys, like not being shown up, as in, dude, you just got rocked by a walk-on? And I know there was equality, but did they make you bring your A game every day, the walk-ons, the kids you competed against in practice?
Absolutely. I used to get frustrated and angry at the walk-ons because all of them were trying to battle and compete for a scholarship, trying to battle and compete and do their job, what was put in place for them, and trying to make sure they can just get on the football field and play, because we're blowing people out, and there's opportunities each year for walk-ons that you hear and see and end up getting a scholarship, ends up starting, ends up, you know, being a big contributor to the football team. So there were some days where some of these walk-ons, they're so hungry, giving 100% effort, and that's what I loved about the walk-on program and the players that were the backups. When I played, they were giving you 110% on every play in terms of running routes, blocking, as a defensive lineman, as a running back, whatever the position was, those walk-ons were giving 110%, and there was no letting them off.
That made the whole program pretty good. Ralph Brown's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Ralph, can the walk-on program be restored? It's a difficult question for you, but you saw every kid as a freshman from in-state here in Nebraska. They wanted to play for Nebraska. There's kind of been a lost generation because Nebraska's not been what it was. Can it get back to that?
Absolutely, it can. It's just going to take time. Just like it took a while for it to kind of lose its touch, lose its base, and for that generation to basically you lose interest and go to out-of-state programs and play, it's going to take a little bit of time. But the exact person that knows how to do it, cultivate that, reach out, and make the in-state kids feel great about sacrificing and coming to play for the Huskers is Coach Frost. And I think it's going to take, you know, probably a few years to try and grab that next generation that's out there looming, seventh graders, fifth graders, and some high school kids to basically say, hey, look, I want to come and play for Scott Frost and his system and the University of Nebraska and walk on. And you're seeing a few players that have done that already, and we'll only see it increase with what Scott Frost and his staff are doing.
So you're telling me it can be rebuilt. It's just going to be a matter of, well, winning, first of all, but second of all, the one thing that I think, and I mean, I graduated around the same time you did from a high school, but around the state, you bump into people, you know, outside the metro areas. I mean, those kids felt wanted, and I think that's going to be, do you agree that feeling of want and necessity and need to make this program build back to what it needs to be, that'll be communicated?
Of course, and you want to feel wanted. You want to feel like you're part of the Nebraska family. You want to feel needed, and that's what all the walk-ons felt, you know, back in the 90s and before, I mean, when the program was running on all cylinders. And Scott knows that. He spoke about it, and that's one thing that basically I got excited about, because Frost brought up the walk-on program, and I never really heard any of the former players before Frost really talk about that and really being instrumental in reviving that. And you have Frost that knows all of the key ingredients and elements to making Nebraska what it is in terms of how he coaches now and what he brought from the past. And that walk-on program, getting it back, is very important to get the Husker Nation back on top.
Ralph Brown, 10-year NFL vet, Husker Hall of Famer, all-century Husker with us, Hale Varsity Radio, at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. Ralph, speak a second about Mike Rucker. Bad Mother Rucker is what we called him in the student section, and getting that Hall of Fame nod, getting that letter.
Just a great individual as a person on and off the field, a tremendous hard worker, somebody that I truly got along with on the football field, on and off. I still stay in touch with Rucker, like a brother to all of us, and it was just so exciting. I congratulated him on his Hall of Fame, you know, being the recipient and going in, and it's just amazing once you get that letter. All your hard work just basically flashes before your eyes, and I'm so glad that he got in because he was a part of that tradition. He you know, tallied up tons of sacks, made big plays throughout the course of his career, had a nice, fruitful, and prosperous NFL career as well, so I'm happy for him, and I'm glad that he's going into the Hall of Fame.
Ralph, what do you know about, and I know he didn't play in California, he played for Dion down at Trinity Christian, but man, the program's buzzing about Maurice Washington. Do you know much about him? I know you've seen his film, obviously, but it's just kind of unheard of to have everybody like a unified voice about a kid that's been here 5 days just blowing up, doing great things.
Well, I don't know him personally. I haven't spoke with him, just in terms of his athletic ability, his vision, getting the ball outside on the move. It's what he does. And going from 0 to 60, yeah, he has that ability. And you add in all the running back depth that's already there. You have Greg Bell. You have Trey Bryant. Now you have Maurice Washington, who's basically more than advertised, which which everyone has seen. And that's awesome for the offense. And as a head coach, as an offensive coordinator, Troy Walters and Scott Frost, you just salivate when some of your guys improve or are better than basically advertised when you recruit them. When they show up, you're like, wow, this guy, he's better than what we thought, and he's going to be a great instrumental role and a key cog to our offense this year. And that's what seems like Morris Washington is doing right now for the Huskers.
No, he's doing some nice things. Ralph, a couple thoughts here on the NFL. What's your takeaway with Baker Mayfield, what he did in his first game?
He did pretty good. I think he's going to, you know, he'll keep growing. The one thing I do like is his confidence. But the one thing that I think that's going to be tough for him is the off-script deal, you know, kind of running around in the pocket trying to make those throws. When you get into the cold weather in that AFC, we're going to see if he can stand the task of standing in the pocket, throwing the ball, having to deal with the defensive linemen, because all the quarterbacks in that AFC North, they're big guys, they have powerful arms, and they can withstand all those hits. Baker Mayfield, 6 foot tall, you know, maybe 5'11", where he really is, but we're going to see if he can endure that brutal cold in Cleveland and in Pittsburgh and in Cincinnati, you know, once it gets into those, you know, 20s and below type of temperatures.
Saquon, first carry looked marvelous. And what kind of year do you think he can have?
I think he's going to have an amazing year. He could possibly be rookie of the year unless one of these other quarterbacks start and then they have a pretty productive year. But at the running back spot, I mean, you can't match up with him one-on-one, so he's a matchup nightmare. And then he's physical in between the tackles. He has tremendous hands, and then he's a great blocker as well. So that running back pick for the Giants just basically opened up their entire offense with their tight end, the wide receivers that they already have, and then you add him into the mix, and all you just need is Eli to just basically protect the football, and that offense is going to be, you know, hitting on all cylinders.
Ralph Brown with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Ralph, we'll get caught up again, man. Counting down till kickoff. We won't hold our breath, but it'll be here soon. But thanks for a few minutes.
Always fun. Thanks a lot, brother.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Great stuff from Ralph Brown, Double Deuce. 22 days away from football with Nebraska. That is from college football getting underway in Nebraska. That is outstanding. We will get some of the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke's suggestions for you when it comes to NFL preseason. This story is about 15 minutes old on Maryland football. DJ Durkin. We told you the story about Big Ten Media Days, right? One of our folks from Hail Varsity and her dad was going to the can. He's all by himself at the urinal, and DJ Durkin walks in and parks right next to him. And we're kind of like, party foul, perhaps? I don't know. But this story gets pretty graphic, not with the urinal, but I'm talking Maryland football by ESPN. We'll get there in a minute, but I want to remind you about texting and driving. I'm reminding you not to do it. Stupid things you could do, but that list is short, and the behavior very dangerous. And think about this when you send or receive a text that takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds, like driving blind at 55 for more than the length of a football field. And texting increases your crash risk 23 times. It's also illegal in Nebraska. Fines between $100 and $300. No text message more important than your life, the life of your passengers, or others on the highway. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. You can find us on Twitter. Find and follow at @Schmidt_radio, at @DannyBurke5, or at Hail Varsity. Quick question before Maryland. Have you considered changing your Twitter handle?
No.
At the Pride of Chicago.
I don't know. It's pretty nice and simple right now, just DannyBurke5.
No, I like it. And right, what's the number 5 for? Are you a George Brett fan?
5's just always been my go-to number, man.
Okay. Yeah. I gotcha. Or at Danny Casino.
See, then I like I'd Danny have to Burke. Have a reputation to precede itself.
You're going 2 for 4 in the majors this year for golf.
Let's hope.
Okay, a t- toxic culture at Maryland football. Here's what's going on, okay? Somebody said something, and Heather Dinich, Adam Rittenberg got this story. We've had both on, both very credible, very talented reporters of ESPN. And you had Maryland last year that got off to a 3-1 start and then died, right? Because both their quarterbacks were done. When they're healthy and when they had both their quarterbacks, big time things. And you've got Durkin that was at Ohio State, was at Michigan. He was at Michigan first. And I said he was at Ohio State. I always screwed this up. He is at Michigan, but he was under Urban Meyer at Florida. Okay. So he's coached with both. And Durkin's one of those younger, I think Durkin's like 38, 36, 37, whatever the case may be. Listen, man, pretty well respected, done pretty good things, and was pretty well wowed folks when he was doing defensive work at Michigan. So here's what's going on with Maryland. And listen, this is the setup, okay? He's been there. I believe this will be year three, okay, for Durkin. He's in win now mode because someone is squeezing him to win now, right? Maryland's been a mess. And now this story comes out on the heels of Jordan McNair's death. Okay, so Jordan McNair dies from workouts. That's awful. That's horrible. And this is the fallout. What type of culture do you have? So, several current Maryland football players and people close to the program have gone on record about the toxic coaching culture under DJ Durkin. And this was before Jordan McNair's death. Will it change after the death? I don't know. The recap on McNair, 19, died 2 weeks after being hospitalized following a May 29th workout, collapsed after running 110-yard sprints. Those gassers suck. They're awful. He showed extreme exhaustion signs, couldn't stand up. No official cause of death yet. His body temperature when suffering the heat stroke was 106 after being taken to the hospital. So the past several weeks, two current players from Maryland, multiple people close to the program, and former players and staffers spoke to ESPN. And it stems from who's running the program when DJ Durkin's not there. The guy who runs your shop is your strength and conditioning coach. That guy's name is Rick Court, one of his first hires in 2015. The environment is based on fear and intimidation. So you have an example here where a player was holding a meal in a meeting and Court was angry and slapped the food out of the player's hands. Yeah, I have an example of belittling and embarrassing and humiliating players. It's common. So, and this goes, you seen Full Metal Jacket, Danny?
Yep.
Right? Remember the donut scene?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the fact that Private Pyle had to suck his thumb and pull his pants down while everyone else is just getting crushed on exercise duty?
That's Maryland football,
apparently. A player is being told to lose weight and was forced to eat candy bars as he was made to watch his teammates work out. Extreme verbal abuse. Players routinely the targets of obscenity-laced epithets meant to mock their masculinity. When unable to complete or perform a workout or a weightlifting program. One player was belittled verbally after passing out during a drill. And the other part of it, too, coaches endorse unhealthy eating habits. Food is used punitively. A player was forced to eat till he puked.
A former Maryland staff member said, "I would never, ever, ever allow my child to be coached there."
Can I just be honest? Okay. We talked a lot today about toughness. And Scott Frost is been very adamant about how you can get toughness. You coach out of love, right? And not MFing people. There's the other side of the coin where it is boot camp mentality. And you've got You've got philosophies. Are you going to scare and intimidate, and do guys play out of fear?
That never works, because then you're just playing mind games with your kids the whole time, because they don't know, if they don't want to mess up, so they're overthinking everything.
Oh, they can't perform.
Yeah.
They're scared. They're scared.
They're never going to reach their full ability.
No. I get that totally. But from an old school standpoint, I mean, Woody Hayes was like the ultimate out of fear, right? And I don't know where else it worked, to be honest. And I think Bear Bryant back in the day with the Junction Boys. Bear Bryant would be thrown in jail today for doing that. But there's
a lot of it comes from respect, the fear factor. But this is just like, it's Maryland football.
This guy's just abused. This guy's a sadist.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
No, it is ridiculous. I say this, I respect like getting scared to get yelled at, but there needs to be an element of pumping you up too. And you've got this new wave and new school.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
One final time, and I meant to give more time to Danny Burke, and I will start doing that. Otherwise, he will get angry. But that Maryland thing just kind of broke and needed to get in there. And anytime a coach chucks weights at a player, we need to talk about it.
Yeah, I don't see how you can just look the other way on that one.
No. I was running out of time. The shot clock was going off. There are guys that grew up and just nod their head and say, well, that's how my coach was. Mm-hmm. But it isn't 1970 anymore, or even 1990 anymore. Got to change with the times. And you need a good mix of motivation and respect, and you don't want to disappoint a guy. I get that, but there are ways to get that player to buy into you without, hey, let's go Full Metal Jacket here and see how many Snickers homeboy can eat here while the rest of the team works out. You're going to have a code red on your hands, right? Where there's bars of soap and tube socks when the kid's sleeping. Daddy, pick me out some winners for this weekend with the NFL preseason. You beloved degenerate you.
Okay, so I held off for a week before I made my first preseason bet. Let me just say that. You got to give me some props there. I bet on the Bears last night.
Of course you did.
And the freaking Bengals game-winning drive at the end. The Bears had one more
chance.
So
you had a bad beat.
Do it. Yeah.
You know what we need to do? Danny's bad beats. Or
it'll be a long show.
Or good times.
Yeah, one or the other. Tonight, so we got the Falcons and Jets, Lions and Raiders. See, when you look at the Falcons and Jets, immediately you're thinking Falcons, but the Jets are 4.5-point favorite, and
Falcons
I think that's
aren't gonna
because,
play anybody.
Right, and I think that's because the Jets, all their quarterbacks can possibly be the starter too. So they don't really have a clear backup and they're all like very average.
So you're heavy on the Jets.
I wouldn't say heavy, but yeah, I'm taking the Jets. I'm not gonna do anything with my money on it, but just speaking out loud, yeah, I would take the Jets.
You're just pontificating.
We're just saying words. We're just talking out loud. And then the Lions, Raiders 3-point favorite at home.
It's a big game for Amir tonight.
Yeah,
I mean,
that is.
He can either be traded or cut.
That's true.
Or solidify himself under Patricia, but he needs to be doing well.
I'll take the Raiders.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Who else? Anybody?
Tomorrow, Vikings, Broncos, and Chargers, Cardinals. Broncos, 1-point favorite, and Cardinals, 2.5-point favorite.
Who the Cards got?
Chargers.
Okay.
In Arizona.
Are you, like, in this camp that San Diego, now moving to L.A., but they'll always be San Diego to me.
Yeah.
Are you on board as the Chargers are the team to beat in
the AFC?
That's
what everyone's saying.
Right?
I know
it's year one with Gruden. I know Denver's still got questions.
Yeah, people are iffy on Denver.
And you've got a new quarterback in Mahomes in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And I think San Diego's defense is great because they got that kid out of Miami at linebacker. You got Bosa. I mean, San Diego's defense is for real.
I just don't know if
Phillip's 107, but he's good,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I don't know if you can claim them as the team to beat. Are they at the top? Or The expected team to win, sure, but I don't know if they're the team to beat.
Are they 9-7, 10-6, or are we talking 11-5 or better?
Probably 10-6.
I think Tennessee. I can't wait to see Mariota again. You have New England being New England. Pittsburgh's sick for one more year. They're good for really good for one more year.
That's true.
It's kind of where you're at.
We'll
Pittsburgh
see.
And New England, and then everybody else. All right, Danny, you're awesome, brother. Good to hang out today. Thanks so much.
You betcha.
All right, miss the show, hailvarsity.com, or get to iTunes tomorrow morning, weekend edition. See you at 7.